Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Redeemer Evangelical Covenant Church on this Sunday morning. It is good to have you all in God's house on this morning. We want to welcome you, whether this is your first Sunday with us or whether you've been coming for many Sundays or someplace in between. We are glad you are here and glad you could join us for a time of worship this morning. We are here to worship. But we're going to worship in a different way than we usually do here at Redeemer, and the reason is because we've had a very different week than we normally have had in Dallas, and we wanted to name and acknowledge that right at the beginning of our worship service. We're going to be doing some exciting things during the worship service, commissioning for VBS, meeting our youth pastor candidate, but obviously with the events of Thursday night in Dallas, it just felt like the whole thing would be phony until we acknowledged it right off the bat. So we want to do that very thing. For those that are type A and need to know exactly what's going on, we're going to flip our worship service exactly around. We're going to start with a message, as crazy as that sounds, and then we're going to worship God in response to the message, and then we'll do a few announcements and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. But we just wanted to start there and make sure we acknowledge right off the bat what has gone on in our city and how we as Christians can respond to that. So again, I realize this is a little bit different. But at this point in the worship service, if we have any little ones, if you are in elementary school or younger, you are free to follow your teachers out for a time of children's church. We all applaud Megan because we've doubled the amount of time she has to be with the kids. Thank you for that, Megan. And to get you through it, two little words, VeggieTales. VeggieTales will help you get through it. Even the scripture reading we had is going to be a little bit messed up because I was going to change it with what we have. So what I'd like to do is we won't have it on the PowerPoint like we usually do. But if you do have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading selections this morning from Genesis chapter 4, Matthew chapter 18, and Ephesians chapter 2. So if you got your Bibles with you, follow along. We will not have it on the PowerPoint because I changed it all up last minute. But we'll have three different selections, and again, if you didn't bring a Bible, sometimes if you get lucky in the seat in front of you will actually be a little Bible, and you can read that from there. But Genesis chapter 4, Matthew chapter 18, and Ephesians chapter 2, and the title of my message is, Are You a Christian? It's the title of my message this morning. First, Genesis chapter 4, I want to start in verse 13, and then I'll skip all the way down to verse 23 as well. Genesis chapter 4, Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And then jumping down to verse 23, we'll read about Cain's great-grandson, Lamech. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. If you want to jump with me over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, let's read Jesus' response to Lamech, starting in verse 21. It says, Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times you shall forgive. And then one more passage for you, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Let's start in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Join me in a word of prayer. Father, I'd like to pray for my words this morning. I hope they are your words. They have come together last minute and in response to emotion and events that have taken place in our city. We hope that no matter what happens, you would help us all understand that you are at work, that you love those who have lost their lives and have compassion on their families, that you stand against injustice, and that you desire to bring healing to our city. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this sermon came out of Thursday night. We had a council meeting that finished up about 9:30. And I headed home and I saw my wife watching television. And she immediately turned to me and said, "Have you seen what's going on?" And so I turned to watch the TV that she was watching. And I saw the visual images of downtown Dallas. And I thought to myself, well, something bad must be happening in downtown. And I thought it was just the local feed showing it. And then when I looked in the bottom corner and it said CNN and that we were watching something that was being shown all across the country, I said, oh no, something terrible has happened. And then sure enough, I saw the scrolling thing at the bottom that said, protesters and police clash, shots fired. And at that point, probably like many of you, for the next 2 hours, there was this sense of complete incapacitation. This sense that I wanted to pray on behalf of the Lord for what was going on. This sense of wanting to turn off the TV, I just wanted, as bad as it sounds, see no evil, hear no evil, took over and wanting to pretend nothing was there. But at the same time, also needing to understand, I needed to hear what was going on and what was happening in our city. So for the next 2 hours, my wife and I ended up watching the coverage of what was going on. We prayed as we watched. We begged the Lord. At first, it was so frustrating because at first it sounded hopeful. They said, well, there's two officers and one's been wounded in the arm, but that's all we know of. And I thought, okay, praise the Lord. And then sure enough, the news came in, and the one officer had died, and then they say, well, now there's two that have died, and five that have been injured, and now four that have died, and seven that have been injured, and it just seemed like it kept tallying up night after night. I went to bed probably about 11:30. I didn't get to bed until about 1:30 that night. Woke up the next morning and came to work. Before I came to work, checked in with my wife. She's got a friend whose father is a police officer, wanted to see if he was all right, and checked in with him, and he was shocked, but he was doing as best as he could. Turned on the TV for about 40 seconds and then realized that wasn't a good idea. The last thing I needed was talking heads telling me how to interpret what had gone on at this point. And then came to work and just stared at my computer screen and had a terrible sermon about the book of Genesis all ready for you with all my little corny jokes and everything. He's like, I can't preach this. This is dumb. Called a member of Redeemer that's the retired lifelong Dallas police officer and wanted to see how he was doing. And I didn't hear from him, but he's here this morning. So hopefully he's doing all right. We're praying for you, Mike, and the friends you know very well. And then just sat there for a while and didn't know what to do. I didn't want to check Facebook because I didn't want to hear from anybody and their opinions on this or that issue. And I didn't want to turn on the web, but check out the websites because I just, what could be said that could already be said. And so I just sat there for a little bit. And then eventually about 10:30, I had an appointment with a Redeemer member and I met with him and he helped me get out of my funk a little bit and I'll explain what he did to help me out. But when I got back from that meeting, I started working on this message that I wanted to share with you. The message is, are you a Christian? Here's what I'd like to ask you this morning. Are you a Christian? When I say that, I do not ask it in the altar call mentality, nor do I ask it in the Billy Graham revival mentality. Now, neither one of those is bad. What I'm talking about is, you know, where you came forward and you gave your life to Christ. I hope you've had that sense in your life where you've surrendered your life to him and sought his face and became his servant. That's a good thing. But I'm not asking about when you converted. I'm asking in this moment, when our city needs it, are you willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian in the sense that you physically magnify and mirror who Christ is to your neighbors when they need him so much at this point? Our city needs the presence of Christ, They don't need people telling them about how they gave their life 20 years ago and they've lived the exact same way since. They need people that are going to read in the Gospels the story of Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Son of God, who offered up his life for the sins of our world, and has called a group of people to be his body to live out this mission as we live our lives. Are you Christians? I believe, as crazy as it sounds, Redeemer, that what we are facing today was directly addressed by Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that he talked about Dallas or anything like that. But what I mean is that the two issues that I think is rooted in all this, Jesus Christ addressed directly. Those two issues are spiraling violence and satanic division. I believe Jesus addressed these both. First, spiraling violence. I read you an odd story in the book of Genesis. Probably many of you are like, what on earth is he talking about with this story of Lamech? But it's an important story because it goes something like this. If you know the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve are the first human beings. They have two sons named Cain and Abel. Cain gets jealous over Abel's sacrifice before the Lord, and Cain ends up killing Abel. And when God finds out about it, God punishes Cain and says, this is what I'm going to make you do because you have unjustly killed your brother. In response, Cain says, well, how am I supposed to live? That punishment is too much. How am I supposed to live my life? Somebody's going to come kill me. And God says this, and pay attention. God says, I'm going to put a mark protecting you so that anyone kills you, my vengeance will come upon. Not human being vengeance, God's vengeance will come upon. And I will make that happen to protect you, Cain. And so that's the original story. And just as humans have done since the beginning of time, Cain's great-great-grandson twists the story. And it goes something like this. Cain's great-great-grandson tells his wife, he says, you know what? A guy injured me, so I killed him. And I want you to know, he tells his two wives, he says, I want you to know, if anybody tries to come after me in response, I want you to knock out 77 of their folks. He says, not enough to just have 7. He says, I want you to up the ante. If somebody takes me out, I want you to take down 77 of their family members so that vengeance is done. Not only does he do that, if you have in your Bibles, it's written in parallel. He turns it into a song. He sings this song. And since the time of Lamech, we've been living like this, right? I got to up the ante on you. You do something to me, I'll do something back to you. Might be violence, might not be. Could be somebody in the office gossips about you. You say, well, I'm going to say something worse about them. Could be something on social media. Somebody posts something, you say, well, I got to make sure to get the last word in, and you type that post. It could be anything, but we have had this pattern of upping the ante. You've heard it now. I mean, let's just name it. Black Lives Matter. No, all lives matter. No, blah, blah, blah. Gun rights. No gun rights. I mean, just always going back and forth and nobody wanting to stop the cycle. A few thousand years after Lamech lived, Jesus came along, and Jesus addressed Lamech's words directly. Peter came up to Jesus and said, hey, you know, how often am I supposed to forgive somebody? Like, just 7 times, right? That's the limit to the amount of times I'm supposed to forgive. And Jesus says, no, and in a complete reversal of Lamech, he says this, I want you to forgive 70 times 7. The amount of Lamechs that are out there that want to up the ante in violence and hate and pain, all those folks, I want you to reverse it so that forgiveness is what overflows out of my people, so much so that you couldn't possibly count it. Like, if other people get vengeance and try to up the ante with vengeance, you folks are called to up the ante with forgiveness and grace and to stop the cycle of spiraling violence. This is what Jesus told us today. It's a different topic, but I couldn't help but flash back to a church in our denomination here in Texas that a few years ago joined our denomination, having come from another different denomination. And when they left the previous denomination, the denomination sued to keep their building, to keep all the things they had built, to keep all their property, because they didn't want them to leave. The church that joined our denomination did the opposite of what most churches do. Rather than countersue and for the next few years go to court arguing back and forth over who gets the final word, they say, you guys take it. You can have it. We are willing to suffer for what the gospel calls us to do. This is what Jesus has asked us to do. When you forgive 70 times 7, are you the one willing to suffer? Are you the one willing to not get the last word in? Are you the one willing to listen to other folks rather than immediately spout off our normal, stereotypical responses. The second thing that Jesus warned us against is what I'm going to call satanic divisions. Satanic division is when Satan is able to take something that is not a divide and turn it into a divide between people. Satan does this with our spiritual gifts. If we have different spiritual gifts, he convinces us that some are better than others. He does this with our denominations and our churches. We are convinced that we are better than the church down the block for some reason. We are convinced that our country is better or more loved than other people's countries. And in this day, he has done it in black men versus police officers, which makes very little sense. As I mentioned, Jessica's friend that we called is an African-American police officer. And these lines that we draw are not so easily drawn. But Satan does this to stoke satanic divisions. I've decided in my house we are permanently banning CNN. The next morning I turned on the TV after the shootings, and they were having a panel discussion to get to the root of the issues. And as I watched their panelists, the first one was just what you'd expect, a small town sheriff, white guy with a mustache and buzz cut. And I thought, oh no. And their other panelist was an African-American activist, young activist, with the activist clothing and the protests on. And I said, what on earth type of panel discussion is? They proceeded to yell at each other for the next 2 minutes, rehashing the same old junk we've been rehashing. There is no mention of the Dallas Police Department chief of police, who has his own very powerful history, if you've read it, of what he's been through. There's no mention that the Dallas Police Department had taken initiatives and had taken steps to bring folks together. In fact, if I could ask Kathy to show the Dallas Morning News pictures that they put before the shooting took place, a group of police officers and a protester that together acknowledge that we need to grow together as community. Would you leave that up just through the rest of the worship service? I get it. When people protest, there's always going to be a group within protesting that loves to protest just to protest. When I grew up, one of the most formative events of my life, I was 19 years old, was what's called the WTO riots in Seattle, where I grew up. And I remember the group that was leaving the University of Washington, where I was at a time. And you could just tell in this group, they were excited to start a fight. They didn't even know what the WTO was. One person was dressed up as a turtle for some reason to fight the police. I had no idea what they were doing. There's a small group that is in that, but there's another group, much larger group, that we must listen to that is frustrated by the cycle of violence that took place last summer, if you remember it, and has repeated again this summer. We must listen to that. And in the same way with our police officers, I'm sure there are quite a few bad eggs in there, folks that have gotten past the psychological screenings, or folks for some reason should not be police officers, or folks that do things that need to be reprimanded and even removed from the force or punished by the court of law. But that certainly doesn't describe all the police officers that are out there. Satan would love nothing more than to divide us where division does not exist. Now, when I say that, I don't pretend that there's not actual issues that we need to talk about. I'm talking about divisions that aren't totally there. Ephesians chapter 2 said it. It said, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, not only have you been united with God, but what the Bible says is that you have been united with your fellow human being. Did y'all hear that when I read it? It says the dividing wall has been broken down between the two of you. And so part of what we must understand is that our separations between our fellow human beings are a satanic attack. And if we're not willing to pray for our enemies, to offer forgiveness, to seek understanding, we're being a tool of the devil rather than a peacemaker through Jesus Christ. I didn't follow him all that much. And I didn't follow too much TV this week, but I did have to check out that interview with T.D. Jakes. Everybody know the Bishop T.D. Jakes that's in the Potter's House in Dallas. I watched it on TV. I don't know if anybody else caught this. But it was really, of all the folks that gave sort of a thoughtful response, his was one of, I thought, the best responses. And he said something like this. If you're the type of person that must pick a side, like your DNA is just wired that you have to pick a side, for Pete's sake, pick right and wrong as the two sides you're going to divide over. He said, don't let it be police versus African-Americans. He said, pick right and wrong. If somebody's right, you're on their side. If somebody's wrong, you're not on their side. I thought that was the best statement of the faith that anyone had given in the midst of all this. Are you a Christian? Do you look like Jesus Christ? Can you leave this place and be the hands and feet in Jesus Christ to a city that needs it so much? Like I said, Friday morning I was kind of in a low spot, didn't want to work on the sermon, didn't want to do much of anything. And I finally got out of it, sort of a kind of a funny different way to get out of it, but it worked in my mind to get out of it. I had a meeting with a Redeemer member, a specific member that I meet with, don't laugh at me when you say this, but to slowly but surely learn Spanish. So I'm slowly but surely working on Spanish and was able to meet with him and do that. We struggle when working on Spanish. I still don't know the difference between yo estoy and yo soy. They sound like the exact same thing to me, Luis, but I'm doing my best to work on those different things. But as we talked and as we met, and as we talked about the situation that our city was facing, it dawned on me, this is the baby steps we all must take to come together. Everybody's hoping that the right president will solve all our problems or that the right mayor will solve. It's not going to solve all our problems. One person besides Jesus Christ cannot do that. But his body coming together to transcend divisions is the type of thing that can do that. That's why I was glad, as awkward as it was. And thank you for your patience, Luis, with my awful Spanish, to come together. That's why it was important. I met Nick and his wife, our youth pastor candidate, that Friday night to make sure that, hey, it's still important that the next generation grows up in the faith and sees that. Here's what we're going to do for the rest of the worship service. And again, I know this is different. We're going to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to a time of our worshiping the Lord. And I just want to remind you that our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in solving this thing ourselves. It's not in doing anything ourselves. But we worship not because we're trying to ignore the situation of what's going on in our world. We worship because that's our only hope. After that, we are going to do some of the fun things we had planned. We're going to pray for our VBS folks that are leading VBS. We're going to meet Nick and put the spotlight on him and ask him all the dirty questions that we need to know if he can be our youth pastor. But we're going to do all this stuff. We're not going to bury our heads in the sand. We're going to trust that Christ is even bigger than all the things we are facing. We are all Christians. We must live like it. And so I ask you folks, as we head out from this place, and we'll head out in just a second. Don't leave right after this. Can you be the hands and feet of Christ to a city that needs it so much? I'd ask you to, however, wherever you are, bow your heads, whatever helps you focus on God, open your eyes, close your eyes, pray. I want you to join me in a word of prayer. We just want to start with a word of lament. We don't want to say anything. We don't want to do anything. We just want to start with silence. And then we're going to name and pray for the police officers that lost their lives. We're going to pray for the folks in Baton Rouge and in Minneapolis. We're going to pray for our cities. And then we're going to pray for us as Christians. And then after that, we're going to worship God. And we're going to celebrate the seeds that he is planting in our lives. But would you just, wherever you're most comfortable, take a moment, bow your head. Don't focus on anyone else. Just between you and God, let's go to him with a time of silent lament. Almighty God, in a world that is quick to offer their opinions to events on television, we want to be the people that stop and are silent. What we would ask, Lord, is that the words of the book of Romans would be true, that the power of your Holy Spirit would groan with words we cannot fathom ourselves, because it does feel like there are no words right now. We pray that you would hear our cries for the human race, that we are sinners, that as painful as what happened in Dallas on Thursday night, throughout human history, this has been the norm rather than the exception of human beings cutting each other down, of dividing one another, of slaughtering the innocent, of not seeking justice. Father, we confess our sin to you. Father, I'm at a loss for what to pray, but I believe there's power in just naming those that lost their lives. And so we would pray for in Dallas, officers Brent Thompson, Michael Kroll, Lauren Ahrens, Patrick Zamarpia, and Michael Smith. In Baton Rouge, we would pray for Alton Sterling. In Minneapolis, we would pray for Philando Castile. We lift up these three cities, Father, Dallas, Minneapolis, and Baton Rouge. We pray that you would be with their peace officers in these cities, the officers that wake up and put on the uniforms, the families they kiss goodbye as they serve, ground them in a sense of your protection and peace. We pray for those that are speaking out against injustice that you would help them to do that and share their voices in a peaceful manner. Father, we pray for our government officials. We pray for our churches. We pray for our schools that are all faced with the burden of trying to untangle the mess of race that has been made over the past 500, 600 years. We know we won't solve it all now, but we pray that we take one step forward. And through terrible events like this, that your grace and your healing would be poured out on our nation. Finally, Father, as odd as it is, we worship you. Just like that website had the headline that said, "Who will bring us hope?" They thought it would have been Hillary or Donald. It's not going to be either one of those. We know it's only going to be you. And we would pray, Father, that you would hear our praises united in one voice. We pray that you would take joy in what we offer before you. And Father, if it be in your will, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on us and on churches throughout Dallas, so that your hands and feet may exist in our city. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.